Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Fumi Abe from the Asian Not Asian podcast. Our monthly stand-up comedy show, Hack City, is going to be part of the New York Comedy Festival this year, so come check us out on November 6th, 8 p.m. at Canal Street Market. Tickets are available on Eventbrite or the New York Comedy Festival website. You can also Google Hack City New York Comedy Festival. So come check us out, and we'll see you there. Bye!
The Asian Avengers, so weak.
The Asian Avengers, so weak, so fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa! There's five Asian guys together.
Together. Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck? You like opium?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Asian Not Asian Podcast, a podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
I'm Mike Nguyen.
And quick shout out to our network, Canal Street Radio and Listening Party. Check out those guys on Instagram at Canal Street Market and at Listening Party Presents. Also, if you're listening on your phones right now, please take that screenshot and post that shit on Instagram stories and tag us at Asian Not Asian Pod. And why don't you tell me the name of the first album you bought?
Ooh, I remember mine.
Okay, let's say ours in three. Okay, one, two, three.
Gregorian Chant.
What?
Yeah, man. At the time,
were you taking a music history class?
No, dude. Okay, this is very. This only 90s babies will understand.
Okay,
but for a while, Gregorian Chant.
Yeah.
Was the shit.
What do you mean the shit?
It was like real popular. They played this shit on the radio. I'm talking, you know, like just like, you know, like
yeah,
shit like that.
I know what.
Yeah.
That was popular.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
They came out with several albums, and
it's one group.
Yeah, it's like one group of monks, I guess. And me being a dork, I was like,
that
yeah.
was your first album.
I was like,
you said, Mom, take me to Kmart.
Yeah.
Let's buy this
and
shit.
Then after that, it was probably some LL Cool J or something.
Damn. Mine was Smash Mouth, followed by, might have been Janet Jackson or something. She had some good hits back then.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. So tell me the name of your first album. And please, if you're listening to it on your Apple Podcast app, please leave us a review. That is very important. We get all these emails like, why don't you get these famous people? And like, you know, we can't unless we get big. So it really, really helps. You know, your efforts have paid off a little bit. We've gotten some famous people.
Yeah.
So it's been great. So yeah, just keep doing that. Say something nice. And then if it's funny, we'll read it on the pod. No Patreon today because this is probably coming out in a couple weeks from now. Mini store of the week. I would like to give a quick shout out to the two ladies that were on this podcast maybe like, I don't know, 2 months ago.
Yes.
Elena Yamamoto and Yael. What was her last name? Pete. Yael
yeah.
Pete.
Yeah.
The ladies who were going to start their own restaurant called Furies. Not Furries. Furies.
Furies.
They used to work at Karasu. They've been on Vice Munchies. They're amazing guests. But they, you know, they're in the process of opening up a new restaurant, right? And so to make money and stuff, they do these like pop-up restaurants and stuff.
Right.
So I went to one last night in Bushwick, and the food was like incredible.
What kind of food is it?
It's like, I can't even call it Asian food or Japanese food. It's like Japanese inspired shit.
Whoa.
You know? So there'll be like hints of like Asian sauce and whatever, but like, you know, there was like steak. There was all these like interesting salads mixed with like sesame dressing and all this stuff. And like, I don't know. I'm not really used to fancy like dining shit.
Yeah.
You know, there were these like courses and all that. But it was like family style. And it was amazing. I can't wait till they open their thing. But we were having this nice conversation about like, you know, what it takes to open a restaurant. In
yeah.
New York. Because you and I always joke that it's harder to be a successful restaurant owner.
Oh my god!
Than to be a comedian.
They work so much hard. I mean, like people who work in restaurants work crazy hard.
Not even just the hours, but like the success rate is just so
oh, yeah.
low. And when you fail, right? Because if we fail, we sacrifice, I guess, time and just some cost of not having a better job,
for
I
sure.
guess.
Yeah.
But they're putting in like all their savings, everything,
yeah.
right? That's the thing you don't think about. You walk past like a frozen yogurt shop, you're like, dude, that was somebody's fucking savings.
Yeah, that
you
know? Was somebody's retirement.
Yeah.
And they're
like, no, this is it right
now.
No,
you know what? My kids don't have to eat.
Yeah, Red Mango, which fucking is out of business now. Remember Red Mango?
Oh my God.
Remember the yogurt phase?
The yogurt phase?
The frozen yogurt around
2008? Oh, I remember that. I remember that. I was
right when you moved here.
Yogurt boys?
Yeah.
I came here and I had a yogurt in my hand when I landed on the plane and I was like, delicious. This will never go out of style.
But
and then cupcakes came. Okay. Anyways.
Yeah. Cupcakes were a thing. Magnolia and
cupcakes.
Crumbs.
Right now, we're in a
boba phase. Is it boba phase?
Maybe kind of, yeah, like yeah, a lot of green tea, everything.
I mean, it is,
you know, where we're at though. We're in an avocado apocalypse.
Oh yeah, they're everywhere.
We got, you know, shouts to White Girl, so single-handedly destroying the world.
But the thing I wanted to bring up and just tell you is that they were talking to me about the investor process.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I didn't know this. Nobody wants to invest in restaurants because restaurants don't make money unless you are going to be a global force like David Chang's vision, right?
I don't know
if that's what he envisioned in the beginning, but the reason why somebody wants to invest in an app is because that app eventually wants to
scales.
On everybody's... Yeah, it's scalable, right? But a restaurant, you know, she's trying to make something that's like 24 seats, right? So nobody wants to invest in that. And so I asked her, like, who invests in that? And she said it's like rich, cool dudes who want bragging rights.
Yeah.
So they want...
it's cool to have one.
Yeah, so they want to bring their dates there and just hang out there. And then whatever money... this $200K that they're donating or investing, it doesn't mean anything to that person.
It's like, it's okay if I lose it.
Right. So that's why they're having a hard time finding investors and stuff. And they know, like, David Chang and all those people.
Oh.
So, like, he's kind of helping them out a little bit. Like, that's just cool. Giving advice here and there. They're like, you can do my podcast once you guys start and stuff. But, like... damn, like, they told me how much they're trying to raise, and I'm not going to tell them out because it's being inappropriate, but it's a lot of fucking money. And they're opening something for 24 people.
Right. It's like a small one.
So I was just thinking, like, how do fucking, you know, like, how do you fucking do it? How do these people fucking do it?
Dude.
I guess, like, rich daddies?
I think, yeah, rich daddies. And then, you know, that's why, like, when you do finally get it going, you got to cut all the costs. And so you do everything. You got to do everything.
Right. That's why they're working.
You're the chef. You're also like the fucking making like you're like fixing the toilet. You're fucking building shit.
Yeah.
All that stuff. It has to be you.
Yeah.
You ain't got no money and you can't be like sucking any more rich guy dick.
I know.
You know?
Do you have any friends who have restaurants open?
I know a couple.
Oh, that guy in Texas.
Yes. They're trying to start one. And
how's it going?
It's funny because, you know, he used to work in advertising, so he kind of like understands. He like put the deck together and like had to kind of shop it. He's been shopping it around.
Yeah.
And so,
oh, it's not made yet.
No. So he has like a pop-up and like that, you know, that's going okay. But like to like make the jump, you know, it's like six figures in order to like just get a space and
decorate it.
And just for like... you need some runway for like 6 months, which, you know what I'm saying? You're going to lose money like hand over fist for a long time. Unless you're like, you know, I think that's why everybody's like, you know, you kind of start off with a food truck because then at the end, if you don't, you know, make any money, you still got a truck, you know, that's something. You got to, you know what I'm saying? At least I got a car out of this thing.
That's true. So shout out to all the restaurant entrepreneurs out there.
Yeah, chasing man.
The dream. I have mad respect for those guys now after having that conversation. It's like, I really risk it all.
It's the one, it's like a profession that makes comedy look stable, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa, at least I'm not a chef, you know? My mom's like, okay, well, hold on here. You're a comedian. Are you in the kitchen? Okay.
Okay, we're good.
Okay.
We're good.
All right, at least, okay, keep going doing your heroin.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyways, I want to support those ladies. So check out Furies.
Furies NYC, I think, is
their Instagram handle.
Instagram handle.
They're probably going to open within the next, I don't know, six to 12 months.
They're fire.
But they do all these pop-up shows and it's very, very good. The food is super good. I got recognized at the event. That's why I'm plugging them. I'm very happy.
Who recognized you?
I don't know. Some guy named Gene. He was like texting his girlfriend and he's like, yo, I think this is Fumi from Asian Not Asian. And then he showed me all the texts and she was like, oh my God. Love it. Love the attention, really.
Wow.
Love it. My girlfriend was there so I couldn't really say anything nice, but you know, shouts to all my lady fans out there. Okay, let's get into our guest, dude.
So, speaking of
ready?
Someone with a lot of fans.
A lot of hands.
Fans.
Oh, fans. I was like, hands?
So many hands.
Maybe. Maybe. We can ask him about his hand situation. Our guest today, we're so excited to have him. You know, I'm so glad he came, too, you know, because he's a famous person.
He is.
Didn't think he would show up, but he came looking fly as fuck. Look out for the video version of this.
Oh, my God.
He's a hip-hop artist from China. He plays everywhere, dude. He's been working with 88 Ryzen. He's like up and coming. All my friends, when I say his name, they're like, oh, I love that guy.
Yeah.
Including Ray, our video guy, who's not here today.
Yes.
But he's a big fan. So I'm excited to get to know him a little bit more. So let's welcome to the show the amazing Bohan Phoenix.
Thanks,
hey, hey, hey.
You guys are like hilarious together.
Aw.
the back and forth hype up was crazy.
The hype up.
Can we be your hype man? We can be your hype man.
Yeah, can you guys come on the road? Like,
oh my God, are you fucking kidding me?
What do you guys do?
Because Allison just DJs and I need somebody on the mic that's like, yeah, every time I hear you say Bohan. I need somebody to gas me up like that.
How common are hype men? Is that...
you have one?
No, I don't. It actually depends. If I'm like on tour and I have my band with me, then like my drummer, he actually does some songs with me. So
okay, yeah, cool.
You got a drummer?
I got a drummer, baby.
I love rappers who play with a band.
Yeah.
I saw Jay-Z do that, and his drummer is fucking insane. I think his name is like Tony Roy... Royster Jr.
That's
your drummer?
Nah,
I was about to freak out, dude. Shouts to drummerworld.com. That's where I discovered him. Very good guy.
Where's nice. Where's the weirdest place a fan has come up and recognized you? You
know in the bathroom.
Okay, there you
yeah.
go.
Oh, I yeah. think so. When you're in peeing or when you're washing your hand?
No, like, so what happened was I walked into the, I was at a club listening to a friend do a show. And then I walked into the bathroom and somebody was walking out. But you could tell, like, when someone recognized you, you walk past them, you see a little bit out
yeah,
of
the like, kind of.
So I go into a stall. And the next thing I know is like, hey, 你是渤海吗? It's like,
wait, were you in the stall?
I was in the stall. Like, I was going through my pre like pooping ritual of like wiping down the seat.
Oh, yep.
You know, every rapper's gotta have it. Yep.
Yeah. Yo, like, you know, I think everybody should have it. You know, like, the whole butt on butt contact. Anyway, so yeah, I was like, yeah. Like, can I get a photo? I was like, bro, not right now. Like,
my pants are down.
He's sliding his phone underneath the stall door.
That was pretty weird.
That's funny as hell.
I'll wait for you, dude.
Yeah.
He's just sitting there.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Damn, dude. Well, so you grew up in New York, right? You've been here since.
So I've been here since 2010.
2010.
Yeah.
I thought you moved here when you were like 11 or something. Oh, sorry.
I moved to Boston.
Boston.
Yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Did you have like a Chinese spot you'd go to in Boston, like for food or whatever?
Oh, so okay. So I moved to Boston and I was living with my mother and my stepfather, right? But my mom was working hours and my stepfather, he's Swedish American, he's a white dude, and he was like, all right, like. Maybe Bohan, like, you know, while he's learning English and making his acquaintance with the white world, like, he needs a place to kind of feel comfortable at. So my first year being in Boston, he took me to Chinatown to learn Hungar martial arts, you know, like.
Oh, shit. Oh, really?
Yeah, so I ended up doing that for, like, five years. Chinatown was definitely a spot I frequented a lot.
What's the Boston Chinatown vibe like? Because I know it's not that big.
Grimy, bro. Fucking dirty. Like.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, it's giving New York a run for its money.
Oh,
as
really?
As far as, like, dirty Chinatowns.
Bro. Yeah.
It's really
yeah.
small, like you said. It's really small, yeah.
Because in New York, you have people who, like, grow up in Chinatown. Is that a thing in Boston?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure. I mean, there's definitely, like, little apartments over
did,
there.
Did you start getting like a weird Boston accent when you as you were there? Were you used to, did you have one like
Boston slash?
Because you're like it's learning crazy. English and shit.
Get in the fucking car, Charlie. Like, but no, I never had that, man. Like, I kind of just went from not speaking English to speaking English with like a rap accent. Like,
yeah, how did that happen? Yeah.
So one of the ways my mom wanted me to learn English was just watch cartoons and watch movies and you kind of just emulate, you know, right? And I came across A Mile. I was like, yo, this dude looks cool. He's like
Eminem.
Cool and he's fucking Brittany Murphy. Like, that was her name, right?
Brittany Murphy. That was her name, yeah. RP, but you know.
I was like, yo, like whatever rap did for him, like I won that for myself. Like, and this is like before I even understood what the hell was happening. Like, you know,
you just like the plot.
Yeah, I just thought hip hop was super dope. Like it made him like cool, like this white dude in a predominantly black world. Like it was able to break down barriers for him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Make friends and find confidence, find his voice and all that. And like as a kid, like I didn't have any friends in Boston, like, you know, it's my first time living with my mom my whole life, like, and I was like, I just something I wanted to gravitate towards too.
So you weren't even like listening to rap up until that point?
I mean like the thing is rap had probably come on the radio, but because I was still learning the language and I had never really heard rap pre 2003 in China, it wasn't even registering probably.
Right.
I probably heard it. I just didn't even know what it was.
You didn't really know.
So who did you start
listening to? Like, who are like the you know, those sort of influences that like started you off right when you were a kid?
I mean, so naturally Eminem, right? Like, and I would say in the beginning, I wasn't even like a hip hop fan. I was just more of like a Eminem fan.
Yeah.
Liked his lifestyle.
Yeah.
His wife.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, but like it's more just like his story was super fascinating.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, wow, this dude's got like an incredible story of like just being displaced but is able to find his own, you know? And so I was really attracted to his story at first.
Yeah.
Like I remember going to middle school in like seventh grade wearing a fucking durag, you know, like I was in ESL wearing a durag and like
the teacher must have been so confused.
Oh yeah, they hit on my parents right away. It's like, hey, Miss Lynn, like your son is in class wearing a durag, and she didn't even know what a durag was.
So I had
to call my stepfather and then like he came and got me.
Did he know what it was?
Where did you get a durag?
Bro, just like I don't even know.
In like, Chinatown, dude.
Probably.
after Kung Fu Club.
Probably, man. Like, you know, so. But then, you know, whatever Eminem was listening to and he like names he would be dropping in his songs, I'm like, all right, if he's listening to them, I'm going to go listen to them, you know? Like, yeah. So.
Did you have his first album, the one with the shoe on it? You remember that?
The one with the shoe on it.
Then his first album. I didn't know him until...
Not Infinite, right? Are you talking about Infinite?
I don't... The first album I got of Eminem was when he got famous from... This looks like the song. What is that called?
This looks like the Japanese.
Yeah. But he was already a name before that.
That
right?
was Without Me on business on Eminem show, I think.
Yes, that's the one I bought. But I know he got famous before that with the My Name Is.
Right. Yeah. So that's Slim Shady up.
Yeah. I remember like my friends weren't allowed.
Oh, with
to
the
listen
shoe,
to that.
Probably because like the cover of that is his wife in the trunk, dead, and her feet is hanging out there.
That's why my friends couldn't buy the album.
Right. I like that's what you picked up out of it. Oh, it's got a shoe on there.
Cool Jordans, dude.
Hey, cool shoe. Yeah.
I didn't even think.
You didn't picture that dead body inside of the car.
I was like 11. I didn't know people did that.
Jordan. Yeah. How did you know it was hanging out the trunk?
Like, yeah. That was a whole. You know, it's so funny. You got in trouble, I guess, for wearing a durag. That's how racist fucking Boston is. They're like, you can't even have an artifact there from a different culture. You know?
They were just also concerned that this like 13-year-old kid that didn't speak English yet, like, you know, is like wearing all this oversized clothes and shit.
Where would you go shopping? Where would you like find
Marshalls?
Oh yeah, there you go.
That's probably where I got the durag, to be honest.
Yeah,
Marshalls. Yeah.
Yo,
I had a rapper starter kit from Marshalls.
Yo!
Marshalls is a rap starter kit.
Yeah,
the whole place is like that's where you could buy
basketball jerseys.
Rockaware from like 10 years ago.
Yeah, like fucking Tweety Bird sweatpants. You know what I'm saying?
Like, a lot of Echo like there. Yeah.
Mark Echo shit.
Yeah.
That's where you get it all from.
Oh,
dude.
The Echo shit. That's right.
Damn. I want to get more into this rap stuff.
Yeah,
man. It's fascinating. So you rap. You do it like bilingually, right?
Yeah,
you do Chinese. And English.
Predominantly English.
Did you always start that way, or is that something you're consciously doing?
No, I started rapping only in English. I mean, I look at everything as an imitation, like a baby, like walking, learning to speak, right? Like, so you imitate what you know. And when I first came, when I was like really interested in hip hop, like back in 2006, 2007, it was just like imitation. I just wanted to be the best. And to me, the best was Eminem and Pac and Biggie, and I just started rapping like them, you know.
Right. So
like
you start
punchline shit, like, you know, like I beat your ass like, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when Lil Wayne had this like punchline? It was like that type of rap at the beginning.
Mm. How do you? Cause like I loved rap when I was a kid, but I never like, I grew up in a fucking white ass place, so I didn't know.
Boston's pretty white.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
How do you like practice? Do you just like write bars and then
write.
Do you like? Did you perform them anywhere?
So see, that's really crucial because I was writing a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And I was recording, like, for example, a song on, excuse me, I got this burp coming, but it's not coming. Anyways, there you go.
Let it be, baby, let it be.
But yeah, so I was just writing, like, I would, like, for example, take Lose Yourself, just remove all the words, but the same exact cadence and flow.
Oh.
I'll like fill in my own shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, But I was writing a lot. And then in high school, I joined a gospel choir. But when I went to audition, the choir director, he was like an OG saxophone player from Long Island, right? Mm. He goes, yeah, like, you can't really, you can't really sing, bro. Like, you know. But I'll let you join the choir because I hear you like to rap. But you have to promise me that every time we do a school show, you have to write, like, a verse or a song about God or Jesus, about love, or about whatever. And you have to perform it on stage, and we back you up as a choir.
Oh, shit.
That is tight.
So my first time rapping on stage was with my whole fucking gospel choir.
Oh,
you had a band.
That's beyond a band. I had a synth. Like,
yo.
Do you remember that first performance?
Oh, yeah. It's still on YouTube. Somebody uploaded it to YouTube. Yeah. I had long hair down to, like, here. You know, like, I was in, like, a suit with a fucking tie on and just rapping about God, bro.
Were you nervous? Did you feel like, you know, because like everybody sort of remembers that first time, you're like, okay, you know, I've been practicing, I've been like doing my thing, you know, fucking rapping in the mirror, which I assume all rappers do.
Yeah.
And then 100%. Like, you know, then you finally perform. Like, how was that?
You know, I can't really recall like how I felt.
You blacked out?
Maybe. No, but like I don't remember being like nervous. Mm. Because I didn't even, it wasn't even that serious at the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, this is cool, I get it, like, rapping this. You know, like, but I definitely get nervous every single time.
You do?
I perform. Yeah, no matter how big, how small the crowd.
Before or during?
Before.
Yeah.
As soon as I grab the mic,
it's all good.
It's all good. Gone.
It's all good. Yeah.
You know, it's not even like nervous. It's what is that? Anxiety, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
That waiting period.
The waiting period is. Yeah. I still get that. If it's a really hot show, I'm like really excited. It's more like the I describe it as the I'm about to have sex with a hot girl energy.
Yeah. Okay. That is that. Exactly, you know what it is.
Like,
yeah.
I'm just like, okay,
I gotta get confident real quick.
Yeah.
But what if, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, what if?
Nah, it's cool.
Nah,
you know,
nah,
like,
nah. Fuck that. Fuck that.
You just psych yourself out.
Yeah. Hannibal Buress always says when he wants to do when he does comedy, what he wants to do is get out of his Uber, go into the door, and then go right on stage.
Yeah,
like that's his ideal situation. He doesn't want to fucking wait around.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, waiting around.
Yeah.
How's it going, girl?
Got a new audience.
New. You got a challenger right there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, tell us about you've been kind of back and forth. You're now back in New York, but where were you in China?
I was in like Chengdu, Shanghai, like just bouncing around wherever show is. But my family's in Chengdu.
Okay.
Right.
That's where you grew up.
I grew up in Hubei.
Okay.
But then after I left for the States, all my family moved to Chengdu.
Got it.
When I went back to Chengdu.
So what's your life like when you go back there? Is it, you know, is it like a lot of hustling? Is there a lot, you know, is there kind of, you know, like a little bit more time to chill or what's
Man,
going on?
Man, just like a lot of food, bro. Like,
I
put on like 20 pounds in like 5 months.
Yeah. You know,
like, but it's like basically I was in New York and then 2015, 2016, 2017, I was going back to China to do shows so much. I was like, why don't I just move my ass back out there, you know?
Yeah.
And just be based out here. So when I'm not busy, here, we're just chilling, you know, idling, like in the studio.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, hopping around a lot for doing shows, you know, like within China.
How did you establish a fan base in China? Because you started rapping here, right?
Yeah, and also you say you rap in English, so I guess, but that's cool there. That's fine.
Well, so, I mean, so 2015, this producer from Beijing named Howie Lee, he's like super ahead of his time with his shit. And at that time I had like a live band project that I was playing, and he had found my music online. He was like, oh yo, this Chinese rapper with this live band like seems pretty interesting. And he just brought me back to Beijing to do a show. And yeah, like it was 2015 Beijing, 400 kids like stuffed in this fucking DJ venue, like during our set, there were like 4 different fights that broke out. Like somebody people were smashing beer bottles on each other's heads, and like I couldn't even make this up. I was like, "Yo, China's lit. I'm coming back." For real, like, you know, like because since I took my ass to like the States in 2003, I went back to China like 6 months later, right after I got to the States, because I was like, "Nah, I miss home. Like, fuck this. I miss my grandfather." I went back to China, and like a weekend, I was like, America was pretty good. Like, you know, like, so I never thought I would be going back to China to do, you know, any sort of, you know, do my career there. But yeah, so after that 2015 trip, I just started putting my music out like on both sides.
Yep.
And this is before 2 years before that Rap of China show blew up in China, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was putting in groundwork before that show blew up. I did like 4 tours in China already.
Oh shit!
You know what I mean? So.
Are you bigger in China than you are here, you think?
I'm bigger on the internet for sure.
Just
on the internet.
Yeah.
I can't really quantify.
For the listeners who don't know what the show you're just talking about, what's it called? Rap of China. Rap of China. You want to just explain what that is?
Yeah, so it's a contestant challenge styled reality TV show for rappers. So like hundreds of rappers show up, you know, they wait their time to be judged in front of these like panels. And they like do like 60 seconds of acapella, and then they pass or don't pass. So the people that pass the first round, they go on to like the show, and then they have like one-on-one segments, and then like it's like
is it freestyle or you
no prepare, there's no prep there's material. No there's it's all prep material.
Okay.
There's no like even the one-on-one battle, they make a song together, and then the people, you know.
Oh, I see.
One of them loses by not having the better part of the song, you know. So it's not even like a battle.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, like, that's gotta be weird to like work on a song with someone you're going to like battle
against.
Right.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, the whole format of the show is really like if you know, like to give a context, China loves reality TV, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, and it's so scripted.
Yeah.
So this show itself is like very very scripted show. You know, like.
They already know who's gonna win and stuff.
Yeah, you know, and they kind of like copied it after Show Me the Money from like Korea,
mm-hmm.
and they'll have those like special effects where like you zoom in on someone's face like boom.
And they show it like and repeat like 5 times.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's shit funny as hell. I mean, so like, I mean, you know, you came here and then you go back there, and now like, well, now what's the scene like? It's got to be crazy.
Yeah. So I mean, 2017, that TV show blew the fuck up, right? Like, rappers was on the show for 3 months. Before the show, they were making like $200 a show.
Yeah.
After the show, they were making $90,000 a show.
Oh shit!
Whoa!
Like insane. And so that gave way to like a couple immediate celebrities,
right?
Like talking about like fucking fangirls buying tickets, flight tickets, just to get inside the terminal and rush, you know, the guy coming off the plane, right?
Yeah.
And then this guy, PG1, he was like the winner of the show, and he went in like fucked somebody's wife and he shouldn't have fucked. And like,
classic hip hop rapper shit, man.
Yeah.
Rapper shit.
But anyway, so he did that, man. Like, he got like called out on it by like all the press, man.
Oh,
like,
you fucked my wife, bro.
Yeah, bro. Like, exactly. And the thing is, like, and he puts out a statement, and he gets fengsha, which is like just banned in China. You know, he's not allowed to upload any music. All his social media is stripped.
What?
Wait, what? Because he fucked someone's wife?
Well, because he got made an example out of.
Is that illegal?
Well, check this out, right?
I mean, the whole
it was a crackdown, and then after that, it was a crackdown because he was a celebrity and the other woman was a celebrity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it has like a big scandal that became really big, and whenever like news breaks like that, like up top, they have to like say something about it, right?
Mm.
So he gives a public statement because he owes millions to his label still, right? He gives a public statement and says, yeah, everything that I've done so far, all my behavior is because I came in touch with black culture and hip-hop culture.
Oh.
So he just bagged it on hip-hop, right?
Damn.
What?
Two months later.
True, though.
2 months.
Shouts. That's why we get it to
50
hip-hop.
50 Cent told me to do it. He said to fuck his bitch.
I just did what he told me to do.
Nah. But then 2 months later, the government put out an official ban on hip-hop and tattoo culture. So you can't go on CCTV now and do hip hop music or have tattoos showing. And then, so that's the first season, right? And then second season, third season. First season, you could show tattoos, weird earrings, whatever. Second season, no tattoos.
All squares.
Now you can't.
Everybody wearing ties.
Now you can't even wear. Yeah, exactly. Everyone just looks like.
But I thought there was a ban on hip hop. How can you have a season two if you can't do hip hop?
Well, it's not on TV. That's the thing.
Oh, they moved it to the internet or something.
Yeah. It's on a platform like a Hulu or Netflix or some shit like that. So yeah, to answer your question, long story short, I mean, the scene is very much there's a lot of money,
right?
Because there's a lot of celebrities, like idols that got created.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of money, but in terms of just the level of music, it's become stagnant because everyone just wanted to make whatever's been working, you know?
Right. Yeah, so it's kind of like just like pop. There's like a formula, and you just kind of follow
that.
Yeah,
but they didn't even get to a good formula. They kind of just got to a formula where it's like, oh, this is making money now, let's just do this.
I want to ask about this just because, you know, you bring up the government, and I know, I think in a previous interview or something, you had mentioned that, like,
we're talking about the Iceland government, not the Chinese government, for any Chinese government officials listening.
Oh, for sure.
This is Iceland.
Iceland.
Yes,
Iceland. Yeah, yeah. It's fucking Iceland.
Yeah, so you were saying that when you perform at an Icelandic rap festival, you have to submit your Icelandic lyrics sometimes for approval.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, right.
I think we're in New York. Fuck it. Like,
this is funny. I like this.
So when
you go to Reykjavik, right? you're doing the thing. You got to submit like your lyrics. You got to like have it checked out. I mean, do you have to do that when you?
Oh yeah. You got to submit your lyrics, your translation of it. If it's not in Chinese, you got to submit all your music videos. You gotta submit at
all
least
your music videos.
How does that make you feel? As like, that's very not hip hop.
What department runs this? Is there?
Performance Bureau.
Performance Bureau.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
they read your shit.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine though if like the bureaucrat was reading this and was just like, this is not fire, you know,
and just returned
it, like, returns it. No, you're not, you ain't shit, and they just stamped it right there.
Yeah.
So that's corny.
Yeah.
Corny. This is corny rap. No,
that's probably what they're thinking, you know, but because they're making money off the licensing of the shows, you know.
Oh, true.
They just let you pass. But you know, the crazy thing is the whole trade war thing happening.
Yeah.
The Chinese government, I'm assuming they were just like, oh, you want to fuck us on like the trades, like, well, we're gonna fuck you on everything. So now, like, if you're an American artist, like, it's harder to even tour in China with an American passport. Like, before, I just have my shows pass, no problem, pass. But the last 2-3 shows, they were like, you know, you got tattoos, like, you know. But that was never a thing before.
Wow, no. Really?
Yeah, but are you not a Chinese citizen?
No, I'm not.
Fuck.
I got a freedom pass, baby.
So, I mean, like, so then for you, as I mean, you know, I get the sense, you know, you're a true artist, you know, you want to push the boundaries, you want to, like, do things. So how do you, like, kind of navigate that? Because, like, if there's a certain way to do it in China,
how do I make money?
Well, I guess it's more like, as an artist, how do you make money? But then how do you also, like, you know, I really want to try something new, you know, and try to, you know, push the boundaries, even though you got all these limits on you.
Right. In China and shit.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, in Iceland or whatever the fuck.
Right. Yeah. In Iceland. Sorry. In China.
I don't know. Fuck China.
Yeah. Anyhow. So, yeah and no. There's such a big market that there's always people that's going to gravitate towards whatever it is you're doing.
Okay.
Right. As long as you kind of stick to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, the for sure, like, the Icelandic government censors a lot of lyrics and shit, but my subject matter has never been a provocative one anyways, so that's never really affected me. And in terms of pushing the boundary, if you're not doing that, like, gang, you know, like, shit like that, like, you're already pushing the boundary just by doing something different.
Yeah, hold on, though. I want to hear that again, because that was fire.
It goes like, gang, baby, yeah. That's the new single. Look out for the new single.
Oh, man, that was fire.
Gang by Roman Phoenix. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be approved, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, you're right.
What do you mean by dada?
What do you think? Why do you think there is such a demand for hip-hop? Like, what happened?
Yeah, I mean, so hip-hop had always permeated to the East back in the days. Just, like, there's a freestyle battle called Iron Mike that's been happening every year in China since 2000. Mm-hmm. It's actually this guy named Dana Showtime from Detroit. He went to China in 1999, like 4 years before 8 Mile even came out.
Oh, sure.
Right? And he was hosting underground battle shows in China.
Oh, shit.
Right. Like,
so he's an American guy?
He's like a black dude. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
really?
So he's on stage like, hey, yo, you know what I'm saying? So this is the rules. You're going to spit it free. And then this Chinese guy's behind him saying, oh, just crazy. Honey, may I tell you? He's like, yo, it's hilarious. But the thing is, like, even back in 2001, 2002, man, they had hundreds of people in there. Like, literally everyone's dressed like fucking DMX. Just you know, man?
Yeah.
Like, got the Rough Rider jackets
on. Went to Marshalls.
Like,
yeah.
Everybody went to Marshalls. You know,
yeah.
Like, so.
That's interesting. Maybe rap has always been a thing, but, like, even in the U.S.,
it wasn't mainstream.
Rap became mainstream. So then, therefore, globally, it becomes mainstream.
Right. Like that Run DMC moment where he held up his Adidas, you know, and then Adidas exec in Madison Square. And Adidas executives who were at the show, they were like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Everybody but his. So, like, it was always there. Like I said, like, in 2015, 2016, like, we were packing out 300-400 venues, you know?
Right.
Like, but then it was everybody, like, when you did a tour before the TV show came out, everybody in that whole town, like, who liked hip hop, came out to that. Because they were like, yo, we don't get shows.
We don't get shows.
Whenever shows come through, let's get it, you know? Like, and this is before hip hop became like an idol thing. Like, it became like a trend thing to go to.
Yeah.
But now, after the show happened, that shit went overnight mainstream. Like, everybody knew hip hop.
What are Chinese rappers, like, talking about?
Man, I mean, so, like, again, everything starts with imitation. It's like, I got change, bro. I got money. Like, I'm moving out of my mama house.
I only ask that because I feel like, you know, if you think about, like, how hip hop came about and stuff, I feel like right now, like, China is very hip hop in the way there's, like, a lot of shit happening politically. And I don't even know if you guys are allowed to really talk about it, but if you did, that'd be fucking dope, because that's really what. You know, how hip-hop kind of came about is
you're going to ruin a lot of people's careers by suggesting them do that.
you're right.
I should.
Interesting. I mean, is nobody rapping about this Hong Kong situation?
Nah.
You know what I'm saying? But you got rappers in the U.S. rapping about police brutality, like, relevant shit, right? But you can't really do that there. So, like, how do you kind of, like, reconcile that? It's like,
so I think of that as, like, you got to just know what game you're playing. And you got to know the rules to the territory and this environment that you're in, right? Like, for sure, I totally agree with you, right? Speaking up, that is the spirit and essence of hip-hop, no doubt, 100%. But, you know, when you know that if you do that, you're gonna lose
everything.
Your everything, and maybe your a chance to speak up about other stuff, you know, in the future. That maybe you don't risk it, you know. But back in the days, in this group called Yinsar, they're from Beijing. That's exactly what they did. They were like, yo, we are fucking hip hop. And they talked about the government. They like were calling teachers dumb. Like they're
You and can't call teachers dumb over
my
here?
God.
They got they were just like saying like Chinese teachers are retarded. You know? They don't know what the fuck they're doing. How are you teaching me? You know, like they got banned. They're not allowed to perform like in China ever again.
But you're like you're American, right?
Yeah.
So do you think that you'd get in trouble if you did that shit here?
Did that shit? You mean like if I talk shit about motherland over here?
I don't even call it shit. I don't know how.
Just like speaking the facts on.
Yeah, just like I'm a disgruntled Chinese person, and that, this is how I feel.
That's why, like I said, that Iceland thing, you know, it's a joke. It was a joke, but not really. Like you know, like
oh, so shouts to the Chinese bureaucrat listening to this podcast. Yes.
Yeah.
Another fan. Hey, consider donating Patreon. On Patreon.
Yeah.
We take
Patreon.
We love China.
I want to bring it back a little bit to you. You know, you growing up here. So
yeah.
You know, your mom and dad split when they
before I was born.
Before you were born, and he was a musician.
He was like a canto singer and those like karaoke places, KTV places.
Oh, sure.
You know, you go in and it's like a club and you sit down, play the dice and you're drinking, right? Like, and then like there's like three or four different singers on stage throughout that night that rotate, you know, like. And yeah, that's what he did.
I'll be honest, I don't know what you're talking about.
That sounds
lit. He said dice.
This is Asian, not Asian.
Lost me at dice.
That sounds lit though. But okay, so then when you started pursuing kind of music career, was your family going to be like, oh shit, you know, he's like
trying to be like his dad?
He's gonna be fucking up his life and shit, man.
Exactly. Like my mom was like, yo, this is the dumbest thing you could do. Like, do you see your father not married, don't have kids, still broke, live at his home, live with mom? I was like, I'm not gonna be like, dude, you know. But like her main worry, you know, I thought like it had something to do with the fact that your father's did music, you shouldn't be doing music. It was more like that she was able to see, like, I mean, the reason he left is because he was so fucking broke and unstable, you know.
Right.
He was like, yo, I can't have a kid, like I don't even have a fucking career, you know.
Yeah.
And so her main concern and like advice that she told me, you know, in regarding to maybe not doing music, it's just that like, yo, like make sure you can fucking feed yourself doing this, you know. Like that's the thing. Like I've come to realize, parents don't really care what you do, bro. Like unless you're not killing somebody, like they really just care whether whatever it is you're doing can sustain you, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah. I think that's like the main thing. No matter whether you're a rapper, comedian, porn star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You eating food?
Eating food. Yeah.
Is that anal scene getting you fucking food? There you go.
Has your parents ever seen you perform?
Oh yeah, yeah. So when I first got to New York, I was just super, like, kind of delusional, hungry. Like, I was like, where did Michael Jackson perform? Apollo Theater? Okay, I'm going to go stand in line and wait 5 hours. Right? So, like, I did, like, Apollo Theater, like, amateur night, like, 6 times. And then, yeah, and then they invited me back for, like, a BET show with, like, Gladys Knight, Dougie Fresh and shit.
Wow.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, they televised that on TV. And, like, my mom saw that. And that she was really proud, you know. Like, and but before that, she had came down to Harlem, you know, like at Apollo to like watch me perform.
Yeah.
But not my stepfather, not my family in China. The thing is, the shows in China, they start so late, bro. They start at like 11 p.m.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They're
yeah.
all asleep by then, you know.
So, that's so not hip hop.
That's not hip hop, man.
I want to kind of ask you this because, you know, we're comics. I don't know if you knew that. We're comedians.
Yeah. I listened to a bunch of their podcasts.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, definitely.
You. You didn't have to say that. That's nice.
I lied.
You know, one of the reasons we started this podcast is because when we started comedy, it's like there's a white way to do it, there's a black way to do it, and it's like, what's the answer for us? And I don't know if we can still answer that question, but we're like, that's the point of this podcast, is just kind of trying to explore that territory.
Nice.
Do you, when you started rap, you know, I mean, obviously there are some Asian rappers and stuff, but like, do you feel that like pressure of like, you know, like where do like, how do Asian rappers kind of carve out the space? Like, what's our thing? Or is that not even, you not even think of it in terms of like race and stuff?
That definitely is more of a subject matter like in the last few years.
Yeah.
But when I first started writing back in like 2007, you know, Jin had came and gone, right? And at that time, I was just kind of like still on that imitation phase where I was like, I want to be the best.
Yeah.
So it didn't even occur to me that like this whole Asian, or I just want to be like the best rapper, you know, like Because otherwise I would have started rapping in Chinese back then too.
You know, right.
How do I tap into this Asian audience, right? Yeah. But yeah, definitely over the last few years, I mean, like with, you know, the start of ADA Rising, with like this Rap of China show, like the whole, like, I was listening to the Ronnie one that you guys did. Like, you guys were talking about like the Asian wave.
Yeah.
Is, you know, whether it's coming or it's here, right? Like, and I feel it too. I think there's like all eyes on Asia, all eyes on China, on, you know, like more so than Japan and Korea, because Japan and Korea has been, their pop culture have been across the world for so long now, like,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, but yeah, more so like just Chinese and like just, I mean, but just Asian in general that has been emphasized, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I love that when you rap in Chinese and English, when I saw that, I was like, oh, maybe this is like one of the ways we stand out. You know,
right.
You like lean into that.
Well,
thing.
So that's the thing. Like, for me, it comes as pretty simple. Like, music, and like, for example, like, for what you guys do, like, at the end of the day, no matter what you guys are talking about, like, if, as long as the episode was fucking entertaining and people are like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's great, right? Yeah. Like, so for me, it's like, when it comes to music too, it's like, I just want to make the good shit, you know, like, not as, like, and then maybe like have people find out, oh, he's Chinese, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And that's more empowering to me than like, yo, I'm Chinese, listen to me, man.
Right.
You know,
I just want to make good shit first.
Yeah. Like, for example, like, I got an interview like a few months ago. They were like, how do you feel at 2019? You know, you have a lot of Hispanic people in the scene, like black people in the scene, like white people. How do you feel about the lack of representations for Asian rappers, you know, specifically? I was like, well, I mean, can you name me somebody that can compete at the Kendrick level, at the Drake, at the Kanye level? Like, if you can't, maybe like it's too early to talk about it. You know, like,
oh, I see.
Like, think about how long it took for black people to win a fucking Grammy. You know, like, it wasn't that they weren't talented. It just the industry and the infrastructure is not built like that, because too many kids want to be rappers like me. They don't want to be people behind the scenes. They don't want to be a record exec. They don't want to be like, you know what I mean? Like, until we have people in the fucking, as the gatekeepers,
yeah,
we can't just be like, yo, let us in, you know?
Right.
So that's my point.
Well, I'm quitting.
You're gonna start your rap career?
I'm gonna start and be an executive. I'll probably make more money. But you did have this really interesting thing, because we're talking about sort of like, you know, your style. And you say, like, you know, you want to be able to, like, mix different things, but not, like, have, you know, too much of, you know, Chinese culture in a song, because it can get too corny sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you ever, I mean, do you ever, how do you know when you're like, oh, this is, like, too much, kind of, like, too muchness, you know?
So, I mean.
It's too Chinese.
Yeah, it's a little too Chinese, or the other way, where it's like, oh, this isn't, like, really what I wanted either, you know?
So, definitely, when I was, in 2017, like, when I was doing a lot more of the English and Chinese raps, and I was getting, like, because previous to that, when I was just rapping in English, I would send my songs to all the blogs, bro, and nobody give a fuck.
Yeah.
But the minute they can write you as bilingual rapper, like, Chinese, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yo, all the blogs is right. I got, you know, fucking Fader, like, you know, High Snobiety, like, everybody. And then I was like, yo, I found my voice. you know what I'm saying? I'm good. Like, you know, like, yo, I'm good.
Yes.
I'm 25. I'm good. And I started writing that for, like, 6 months to a year, just like, yo, every song, half Chinese, half English. I don't care, you know. And then I realized it was becoming like a crutch for me when I couldn't fucking convey a single point with a song, because I'm like halfway through getting something through, and I'm like, oh, now I gotta switch it to another language now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, and I was just exoticizing myself for the sake of that.
Yeah,
you know,
to
whoring myself out, kind of, right?
Yeah.
Like, so that was when I realized, okay, like, just do it when it's necessary.
It feels right.
Yeah, when it feels right.
Do you feel like when you're switching, like, there are certain things, like, because, like, Fumi, for example, will say, like, he likes to speak in English a lot of times because Japanese is very polite. And
it's, yeah, I'm very careful when I use Japanese, because it's, like, a really sensitive language.
And it's very neat.
And you can offend somebody very easily.
Mm.
And the second you start speaking, it's like a battle of who is above you.
Yeah.
And I hate that about Japanese.
You mean like, in the sense of, like, who's more Japanese? Or is it who?
No, it's like, who needs to respect who? Immediately.
Yeah.
Right? And I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that, especially in work settings, right?
I see.
So if I meet, like, an older Japanese person and, like, we're at work or something, because when I used to work at YNR, like we would have Japanese clients, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I would always just pretend that I'm Japanese American. I'd be like, no, I don't speak Japanese. Because then I could just be like, what's good? Like I could just, you know, and they're just like, oh, what a goofy guy. But if I spoke Japanese and I was like,
then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you have to.
They're like, oh, then all these other rules apply to you now. And I was like, I don't want those fucking rules.
Because Japanese just jump out of you just now.
So Boha, with you, do you feel like there are certain things that like, oh, this makes a little bit more like it's easier to rap about, I guess, in English versus in Chinese? Do you ever think about that?
That's
like
as certain topics?
Yeah.
I think about it more like the way things sound, right? Like in English, you can drag out a word very easily. With Chinese, because everything is one syllable, it's hard to drag it out. You know, like drag, like you can't do that in Chinese. Like, whoa, you know what I mean? It just doesn't work. So like, there's when you're doing more melodic stuff and like, just like more rhythm stuff, English is works better.
Yeah,
you know, because you can add a delay on that. But like when it comes to just more like faster and choppy rapping, Chinese syllable, because it's one syllable at a time, like sometimes fits better.
Like some twista shit.
Exactly, some twisted shit. Yeah.
And then just to say the word gang at the end.
Yeah, exactly. You got a platinum record.
I want to wrap this interview up with this a conclusion question.
Gang.
This is something that...
this is such a good episode already, because we can keep saying gang at the end.
No, I don't want this to be offensive, okay?
Gang. Yeah.
And I don't want you to get in trouble by the government, but that's the Icelandic government. Yancy, I know you're listening. Shouts to Iceland. Are there, when you do shows in China, are there
this is a funny question.
Chinese groupies? And if so, what are they like?
Allison, do you think there's Chinese groupies?
Tell me about
fans. That's fans. Right? Groupies is the ones that's like waiting after the show and it's like, yo, like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. You get that.
They're not groupies in like the traditional sense. Like you know what? It's okay,
traditional
like,
sense.
I might get into trouble for saying this more. Like, but growing up in the States, I wasn't really attracted to like Asian girls.
Huh.
You know, like, because I moved here from China, like a rural village in China, and then it's just like blue eyes, blonde hair. I was like, what are these creatures? You know, like, I think, you know, growing up like through my puberty, like through my like adolescence, like that's kind of what I was attracted to.
Yeah, we've talked about that on here. Sure. You know, it's what you're exposed to. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when I went back to China the last few years, I was like, oh, wow. You know?
Oh, damn.
Yeah, oh, damn. Yeah.
The glow up is real.
Welcome home. You know? But then I realized, damn, I don't know how to talk to Chinese girls. Like,
you don't have swag in Chinese.
Right. States, like, you know, like, I mean, worst comes worst, just go up to girl and start, you know, vomiting out of your mouth. Like, whatever happens, right?
Yeah.
Like, and, but back in China, like, it's so subtle, you know?
Really?
I mean, like, yeah, it's so subtle. Like, the ones that's like, oh my god, we love you, like they're not groupies. They're like, they want a photo with you and they like gotta be home by like 10 p.m.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah,
like,
they got homework.
Yeah, they got homework, you know. And but the groupies, they're like, they don't even like kind of approach you, you know. Like, you kind of just have to like, it sounds so bad, you kind of just if you're like trying to talk to a girl after a show, right? Like, you kind of just have to like look around and like, you know, like see
what
yeah, like,
you have no hoes.
You know, I don't like to call I don't like to call ladies hoes, but I have some female acquaintances here and there. You know, like.
Oh, what did Jakey call? Oh, shouties.
Shouties.
You don't have any shouties?
I got some shouties, baby. You know what I'm saying? Some of them are taller than me because I'm a shouty. Nah, I love the ladies.
Damn.
I love the ladies, and you know, try to be nice to the ladies.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're such
so subtle. That was subtle.
A subtle.
You see that?
A subtle rapper.
Very subtle.
I love that. That's a 2019 rapper for
very
you right there.
Very 2019.
Hey, I'm 2020 rapper, baby. I'm already there.
And we're back with everyone's favorite segment. It is
Das Race News.
We got our guest Bohan Phoenix, amazing rapper, funny guy, awesome dresser. And for this Race News, this is a good one. This is a fun one.
It's a fun one.
And this comes from CBS News. I'll read the headline: White couple gives birth to Asian daughter after.
We're out here.
We really really are.
Yo, man, this Asian wave is so
it's
real.
So strong.
That this lady listened to so much K-pop, bam, just fucking Asian fucking baby popped out after alleged.
Yeah.
Fertility clinic mix-up. Yeah. Wow.
So a quick synopsis of the story is a fertility clinic in New Jersey is being ordered to turn over a list of sperm donors after a white couple gave birth to an Asian baby. A recently filed lawsuit alleges Christina Cottage was given sperm from a man who was not her husband and that the man passed on a genetic disorder. The couple is seeking monetary damages and information on their daughter's biological father.
Damn.
Looked like
they came up.
Well, they didn't even know until the daughter turned two. I think that was one of the funny parts to me.
Yeah.
They said like
I was thinking that too.
They were like, when she turned two, we knew something was wrong.
Yeah. I was thinking that too. I was like, damn. I guess like you can't. I guess all babies when they're like baby,
you can't tell. You can't tell what race they are. Yeah,
that's true, huh? Asian babies, they look. I mean, like I'll see different babies. They look like
mixed
Latino
and
shit, and right. It's all crazy.
Wait,
man.
So that baby was mixed, right?
Yeah, it's half mom.
It's right, half the mom, yeah, half. Right. Some guy probably named Stanley Lee or some shit like that.
Right.
So, shouts to Stanley.
Yeah. I mean, the couple of things that they came up is like, if she got the sperm, then where did the actual dad's sperm go? So then he's a little worried that, you know, he might have a son somewhere.
Well, it was ridiculous, like, because they were like, well, how's she going to treat him in the future? Like, how's the daughter going to treat him? I mean, the baby's like 2 months out. Like, you know, so it's not small. Like, it's like... She doesn't know what happened, you know. What I mean? Like, if you're a good father to her, like, you know, like, and if she grows up, if you're a good father to her, and she grows up and she wants to like find out about her biological dad, like, that's perfectly makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? Like, but
I think I wanted to make fun of this guy, but it was actually kind of sad because they're like an older couple and they're working with the what is it, the in vitro? Is that
yeah,
what
yeah.
But doing that, it was a whole procedure. They paid a lot of money, blah blah, blah and then. To know that it's not even actually your own daughter.
To like speak on, like to add to your point though, like if they're an older couple and they've been trying to have kids and they couldn't, now they got one, like, and you know, now they're like, I guess not as happy, you know.
Well, they
like,
got divorced.
Yeah, they got divorced. It's real. Yeah,
you're
the
right.
Asians.
You're
got
right.
In
actually,
the way,
yeah, this is way more complicated.
Yeah. But we thought it was a very hip hop story. You know?
This is a very hip hop story.
And what would you do?
Well,
if you were who?
If I was the dad, and like.
Yeah, you know.
Man, first of all, definitely go on Maury Povich, for sure. Number one thing is Maury Povich.
Yeah. Get that stage time.
That's that's a TV credit. And you've like, seen him on Maury Povich.
Yeah, then you can get on Conan.
I would have, oh my God.
Career-oriented.
I could easily come up with like 20 minutes of material. But, so anyways, got a daughter.
Yeah, not mine.
My wife is a hoe.
Yeah,
so I think, I mean, I don't know. It's, you know, to your point, Bo, I don't know how people feel about it. I feel like at a certain point, you kind of like emotionally become bonded with the child.
Yes. Right.
I mean, here's the thing. Okay? What if the baby came out white? I mean, what if it was like another white donor? Like another donor?
Right.
Would you have known? Could you have known?
No, probably
it's like,
not.
Like after a certain month, you know, like, this guy.
Not white enough.
Not white enough. Or like a weird nose or whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. And then I guess maybe you get a test, but then you might not have gone through it until like what? Maybe the kid's older, like 10.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Be like, oh, get the fuck out of my house
to this
kid. You know what I'm saying? Like,
at that's a very interesting point.
You know what I'm saying?
Is it like, this is so fascinating. It's like, were they mad because the baby was Asian or were they mad because it wasn't theirs? You know?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out what's the whole issue, like, that they're worried, like, all right, these two kids are mixed up. They got mixed up into different families. Or was the issue that, like, they were mad that, like, we got an Asian baby? You know what I'm saying? Like,
honestly,
you know.
I don't know. Half Asian babies are fucking adorable.
Bro, they came up. Like, I guess they came up. Like,
they keep coming up.
You know what I'm
up.
Saying? It's like you go to the store and you didn't want to get, you know, this particular product.
Yeah.
But then
it came out.
You tried another product.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh. You know, it's like sometimes you order some fries and there's like a curly fry in the fry.
Yeah.
But bonus.
You're like, oh, shit.
Bonus.
I didn't know I was going to get a curly fry. That's just delicious. Yeah. I don't know. I hope this kid's okay. That's
This
kid's going to be
like. She's going to be a comedian for sure.
Oh my God. And
she's a sitcom written right there.
She already has credits right here for CBS News.
CBS News.
Are you kidding me?
That's a crazy story. If you were like a comedian, it's like, yeah, so I think I came out of the wrong vagina.
Yeah. Yo, these write themselves.
What if this doctor was like just doing it on purpose for the reason?
Just fucking know? Around.
Yeah, yeah. He went rogue. In the rat lab, he's like, no, we gotta put more Asian people out there.
Shout out Dr. Kim.
Yeah. Thanks, Dr. Kim. We're back with our guest, Bohan Phoenix.
Yes.
Rapper, Icelandic rapper extraordinaire.
Yeah.
And we've got a segment. We're going to try. We're going to try this.
You've never done this before.
And you know what?
Fucking guinea pig here.
Yeah. It's going to be good, though. But I think you're going to be great because you know what's funny is before you were here, we were kind of like setting up the segment and like and then Fumi and I like fake rapped in order to kind of like get in the zone and I was listening to myself and I was like I sound so white. I would never sell a single like album or one download because I just don't have like just listen to my voice, you know. I sound like a fucking accountant, you know. Like it's just
wait, by the way, listeners, we're about to freestyle just so we'd set the scene.
Sorry, I got
it. I don't think people know what we're talking about. We're about to freestyle, but you never got into rap because you dress like you're like one decision away from rapping.
I'm not musically inclined at all.
But you dance.
I do love dancing.
You're the Asian Chris Brown,
but
baby.
I just don't like to produce like music. You know what I'm saying? I don't like to. I think that's why I like comedy because there's a certain rhythm to it without any music involved. Mm. You know, like punchlines and stuff like that. Same thing.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a freestyle session with our amazing guest.
Yeah, I'm going to just rap some, you know, that I have.
I don't give a shit.
Whatever you want to do.
Do whatever you want.
I
don't know if this beat is
anyway.
Good for you. I just literally Googled free beats on YouTube and I contacted the person. I was like, hi,
I just fuck the beat. I just rap a cappella.
Shit. This guy has so much
podcast
confidence.
Style, baby.
You serious right now?
Yeah.
Wait, can you also do a beat too? Because I went through all these legal processing to get the beat for you.
Yeah.
Look, we'll try it out.
I'll warm up with a cappella and then you can do a beat.
Oh, wow.
You got to rap for us twice? Wow.
I mean, if that's cool.
Yeah, of course.
This is the Sway in the Morning, but Asian version.
There you go.
Belly of the Hyena.
Sway in the Morning.
Sway means water.
Kai Shui in the morning, like hot water in the morning.
Welcome to Kai Shui in the morning. Wanted.
Make sure you got your, you know.
Yeah. We just want bars.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can warm up yourself. I don't know how to start you off. Should I count you down? I'm like a band director. Hey, this is Bohan Phoenix.
It's Bohan Phoenix, man. Hey. Mama said, always talking about what mama said. Ironically, I never listened to what mama said as a kid. Matter of fact, if I did, I wouldn't be here at all. I'd probably still live in my mama crib. I'm just saying, as intelligent as mama is, I knew what was for me and a suit wasn't it. I knew what was for me and school wasn't it. I needed a role model, but he wasn't there. I mean, I had a father, but he wasn't shit. My stepdad is really who the hero is. Now, picture this. Me and my mom and a 6'2", sweetest dude, a head full of blonde, with a heart that's as pure as they come. And even though you didn't have to, you treated me like a son. And even though your body's not as healthy as it was, still you took a long flight overseas with us back to China. Come and meet a family. And that meant the world to me and my whole family. And through the fighting and the fussing, I kept pushing your buttons. I never seemed to learn nothing except lying and cussing. I said I was in class, but you knew that I wasn't. I was rhyming, buzzing from that shit I was puffing. Yeah, you could have gotten mad and busting my head in, but instead you were patient and you trusted my judgment. And instead, hey, what you taught me was love, a lesson priceless, sent from the heavens above, truly a blessing. Never asked nothing from us, you gave so much, still you feel like it's not enough. And so I thank you, thank you for the way that you are. And by the way, you one hell of a father.
Wow!
Shout out to Pops, the reason why I'm here.
Wow!
I've
never. I mean, what a way to describe a Swedish guy. You told me there's okay. I'm gonna write a song. It's about a Swedish guy and how awesome he is. I'd be like, no, there's no way it's possible. Yeah. You did it. That was fucking amazing.
That was amazing.
No way it's possible.
Well, check this out.
Yeah,
that was crazy, man. Oh, I love it.
Cash Way in the Morning.
That was so good already. I mean, I don't know. You know, like. Yeah, I don't even just...
Do you want to try to roast us on a beat?
Yeah, I mean...
If it's not good, we can cut it out.
I mean, we can just do it.
Listen, you know, like I have to do it because this morning I spent so many hours on YouTube trying to figure out how to fucking plug my phone in this and get on the fucking Adobe thing. And it's like, you will fucking do it, okay?
Fumi,
just full disclaimer. I'm about to roast these boys.
Oh, please. We'll roast you back up, not to music.
Rotisserie chicken style.
Wow. Okay, hold on.
Mayo pollo.
Okay, hold on. Are you ready?
I'm ready, man.
Okay, let me know if this is like loud enough for you. I can turn it up.
All right, bet.
Okay, I think this is
good. Hey, yo, Dre.
Okay, wait.
Turn up my headphones real quick.
Okay, hold on.
I don't got snares in my headphones.
Oh, we got ads.
We gotta play this ad.
I don't pay for YouTube Red or whatever. This
ad. I gotta rap over the ad.
You gotta rap over the ad for Colgate.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Can you hear?
Yeah.
Is that loud enough?
Yeah, a little louder maybe.
Flowers.
Oh, I gotta give a shout out to Made by Flowers Beats. Thanks for letting us use your beats. You said yes in the email, so don't sue us. Okay.
Don't sue.
Real quick shout out to Bohan Phoenix, Kanashi Market,
Listening Party,
Asian Not Asian, Shui in the Morning,
Noodles in
Cash
General.
Way.
Yeah.
Hey.
I don't normally freestyle, my styling free. So if you want me to kick it, I might charge a fee.
Hey.
I'm out here in Canal Street with the homies, and you know that's Michael and the boy Fumi, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, please don't sue me. Yeah. My name is Fumi. Yeah, I was too cheap to buy the beat. So I hit him with the email, like, can I lease? Yeah. And Michael don't do hip hop. Yeah. But I could tell he got a flip flop. Yeah. Cause he Asian as hell. Coming in here, man, I already tell. But you dressed like a B-boy. I used to B-boy. But then 2 years later, became a D-boy. Yeah. I don't know what that means. I freestyle, I kick it for free.
Hey.
Yeah. Kid, and we back up in Canal. And y'all already know what the fuck we talking about. Hey, look, it's Fumi's to my left, Mike's to my right. I got sight. That's just me observing. Freestyle's never working. This shit is hurting. So, you know, that's it. It's your boy, Bar Phoenix. Check out the kid.
Hey, wow. Thank you to Made by Flowers Beats again. Please don't sue us. You said we could use it. I have a screenshot of your email.
I love that. I love you know, anytime you bring up leasing into something, that's real hip hop.
That might have been a very original line right there.
It is.
Yeah, we're talking about that leasing.
It was cool as fuck.
All right, that was Kashwe. How do you say it?
Kashwe in the morning.
Kashwe in the morning. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. Again, our guest today was Bohan Phoenix. Bohan, is there anything you'd like to plug? Let our listeners know where they can find you.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for having me, first of all. My socials across the board is just at Bohan Phoenix. And yeah, I got this new EP coming out called The Prince in October. And 7 new songs, so I'm excited for that, you know.
Is that on Spotify, iTunes?
Oh, yeah, that'd be Spotify, fucking MySpace.
You know, MySpace!
Everything. I'm trying to get every single customer, you know. Yeah, so, corrections. the EP is now out already. It's across all platforms.
Yo, congrats, man.
Mainly on MySpace, thank you. And, yeah, it's got this homegirl, Vava. She's like a rapper from China. She's super nasty with it. She murdered me on my own track, actually. She renegated me. And then another close friend of mine, Miyachi. He's actually have
We've talked about him before. He's tight, dude. He's tight. He does the same thing as you. He goes bilingual sometimes.
We met like back in Brooklyn like years ago, and so we finally was able to get a track done, and I'm hogging all the other tracks. But super excited for this. Everybody check it out. You know, it's out on Empire.
What's Empire?
Empire is like a distribution platform.
Oh, okay.
The EP is called The Prince EP. You know, I just keep leaving out crucial information. My name is Bowen Phoenix. My EP, The Prince, is out.
Apparently, and, you're a rapper.
I'm a rapper. Go get this fucking music, man. Play for your grandmothers, you know. So
good for grandmothers. So
good. Check it out. And as always, you can follow us on Instagram at Asian Not Asian Pod. And you can also find me on there at The Fumi Abe. That's THEFUMIABE.
And you can find me on Instagram at Nice Pants Bro.
Check us out on Patreon at patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod. And if you're listening to it on your iTunes app, please leave a review.
Thank you again to Bohan
for for coming on. This was fucking dope. And everybody check out his music. All right. Cool. We'll see you guys next week.
Peace.
Bye.
This episode of Asian Not Asian is presented in partnership with Listening Party.
Follow the crew on Instagram at Listening Party Presents and at Canal Street Market.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.